Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Let's talk some hockey with Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. Joins us every Thursday at this time. Greg, good morning. What's up?
What's up with you? How's it going?
Doing fantastic. Really enjoyed the piece that you did yesterday on ESPN.com about Connor Ingram. Of course, the Coyotes goaltender spent several years in the Predators organization and had a couple of starts here in Nashville. But, you know, it's documented stuff he's been through. But for you to sit down with him and to tell his story, I thought was really cool.
It's a wild story. I mean, I had sort of known that he had dealt with the OCD thing and had kind of, which had gone undiagnosed for a long time. And in fact, it was the reason why he was considering quitting hockey at one point. But, you know, he was also dealing with depression. He was close with a lot of the Humboldt Broncos players that lost their lives in that bus accident. And then also, you know, had this entire ordeal in Sweden that I had almost forgotten about, because it was during like COVID times, of him being accused of fixing games, of fixing a game based on what ended up being one human error at a sports book and two, a Swedish media outlet thinking that they were talking to the general manager of his team, and it ended up being a wrong number.
Oh, no.
So that was the part that was stunning. Connor gets into it in the piece that we did, but like this whole thing like swung on the fact that they thought they were texting with the GM of the team, and in fact they were texting with a wrong number who was playing along and saying things like, yeah, we sent him home because he was fixing games or some such. It's a crazy story.
Yeah, and I love when you do stories like this, because I think it's important to learn more about, you know, we just see these guys playing hockey, but there's obviously a human side to them as well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So it was good to talk to him, good to tell a story, good to put the spotlight on a guy having a really good season, and just, you know, obviously – story's only as good as the guy you're talking to, and Connor's a really well-liked guy. I was talking to some people yesterday that said that he's also one of their favorite social media follows. So good story there. And again, like the sort of the underlying thing of the whole thing is that he's a guy that was sort of bouncing around the American Hockey League, the ECHL. Obviously, the Predators had him for a spell, and he was just one of these players, kind of like Aiden Hill last year for the Golden Knights, who you know, you just wait on these guys sometimes, and sometimes it's the goalies that develop later in their careers. And Ingram himself said, you know, there's guys that come into the league at 21 and they're stars, and then there's guys like me that just kind of grind it out and then eventually get their chance. And he's a real good story.
Yeah, so check it out at ESPN.com. Greg Wyshynski is with us from ESPN. So Craig Berube joins the list of coaches that have been let go so far this year, three of them in total. Were you surprised by that the Blues decided to go ahead and make the move with them in a rebuild, or did it kind of make sense?
Well, it's like, so we have a coach's hot seat story on the site today. You could read it there. It's like checking the temperature for all 32 coaches. And originally, as I wrote it this week, Ruby was in that top category, the hottest of hot seats. So I either called it right or was a little bit too early with it, because I had to remove him when he got fired. But you know, he's clearly something was going to change in St. Louis, and you know, the cap being what it is, and the you know, the trades being difficult to make for teams right now, Doug Armstrong, their GM, obviously isn't going to fire himself, so there had to be some change made, which means it's Berube taking the fall. I think that's a team that is the problem is construction, it's not coaching. They are a team that's lost some pretty key character guys for the last couple of years, including, you know, trying to have a face-off with Alex Pietrangelo over a no-movement clause that had him glancing over at Vegas and eventually signing there, which I think is really what started the unraveling of the Blues. So, you know, somebody had to take the fall there. They're obviously not performing where Doug Armstrong believes they should be. But I think ultimately the problem with the team is Doug Armstrong. I think ultimately the problem with the team right now is the way that it's built, including a defense core that has a ton of no trade clauses, rather, and really needs to be changed in a pretty dramatic way.
All right, Greg, spoke to you at the beginning of the season, and you had said you put down the Nashville Predators would make the playoffs, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we said, why, to get your thoughts about that. And you said, they got a lot of great young talent mixed with some old talent. Andrew Brunette, coaching style is going to make it work. After kind of a sluggish start, it's all coming together. So I always go back to you that day talking about Brunette and the coaching style, how it will work with this team. So I got to give you a shout out on that, because this team is on fire, Greg.
They are. And obviously, as the season's gone on, UC Soros has gotten better, which I think has certainly helped them, you know, in the standings. And yeah, my optimism was that notion of like that having players that I thought Brunette was going to be able to activate offensively this season. You know, obviously there are some players that we knew were going to be good offensively, like Philip Forsberg, that have certainly really appreciated the style of hockey that they've been playing. So, you know, the West is an interesting place right now. You look at the standings and you say to yourself that there are a lot of teams that we expected to be in playoff spots that are there. I think Winnipeg might be the biggest surprise as far as teams that are playing extraordinarily well that we didn't expect. But, you know, being that the wild card was going to be pretty wide open, the fact that the Predators are right there in the mix is encouraging, and I hopefully they'll stay there.
I know you've been asked this a million times, but why wasn't Brunette considered for more, or the opportunity to get more head coaching jobs? Because it's like hockey's like baseball. You recirculate the same managers and head coaches on and on and on and on. I mean, he's obviously, his little stint with Florida a couple years ago was great. He's doing great now. I just don't know why he was overlooked by so many teams.
Well, you know, so the Florida thing was weird, because you have to remember that he took over that team after Joel Quenneville had to resign, right? And so there was a notion of, okay, that's Quenneville's team. You know, it's a team that was put together for Joel. Joel coached that group for a couple of years. You know, the success that they had, the perception of some was definitely that Brunette was kind of there to keep them pointed in the right direction, but it was kind of like the work had been done by Quenneville before he had to resign. So he didn't necessarily get the credit he deserved, I think, for really doing a good job. And then the other problem with his stint in Florida is that, you know, he gets fired basically because he got completely outcoached in the playoffs. And again, it was his first year as a head coach. You got to give him a little leeway, but it was a pretty significant differentiation between him and the coaches that he faced in the playoffs. So then he goes to Jersey. He's an assistant there. They do great offensively with him on the bench, and I think that helped mend his reputation. But there was always going to be that notion of, like, is this guy better as an assistant? Is he going to be a good head coach? And luckily, Barry Trotz decided, no, this guy's a head coach, and he's going to be our head coach, and I think the results are there.
We're talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. And with the Predators right now sitting fourth in the Central Division, they're only 6 points back of Colorado, who's in first. I feel like that's probably all going to, as the season goes along, we're not even to the halfway point, going to shake itself out, where Colorado probably rises as one of the better teams in the National Hockey League. But what do you think about how jumbled up the Central Division standings are right now?
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting that you don't have the Avs, or, you know, I think a lot of us thought it could be Dallas sort of running away with things. I think parity rules right now in the Western Conference. I mean, you even look at like the last 10 games for the leaders in these in the Central in particular, and it's kind of all over the map as far as no one really putting together a streak necessarily. So, you know, I think that we're all pretty confident that Colorado is going to be a playoff team. We're all pretty confident that Dallas is going to be a playoff team. And then after that, it gets kind of interesting, not only because of the way the Jets have played and the way that the Predators have played, but in the way that the Minnesota Wild had not played until they made the coaching change to John Hines and then kind of found their game again. So, you know, those two teams in the West that whose early struggles really kind of upended a lot of predictions, the Wild and the Oilers, you know, both those teams make coaching changes and both those teams start to kind of like move up the standings a little bit. And the playoff picture that we see now could be a shade different in a couple of weeks.
Do you think that in the Pacific, do you think Vancouver is legit?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like that was the other bold prediction I made about the standings that everybody mocked me for, was saying that Vancouver was going to be a playoff team. I remember going on the radio in Calgary and them treating me like I said, you know, aliens will land on December 14th. Like they're like, this is insane that you think that Vancouver's going to make the playoffs. I'm like, dude, they're better than the Flames. Like, watch. And then they are. I mean, they're better than the Flames. They're better than a lot of teams in the Western Conference. And, you know, part of the reason I thought they'd be good is that Rick Tocchet was going to get a full run of training camp, get a real handle on his team, really put a stamp on what that team should do and how it should play. And right from the start of the season, like, he's benching guys, he's calling them soft, like, he's doing all the things that he wants to do to make this team what he wants this team to be. And the other thing is that the core of this team is just really good. Like, you know, Brock Besser having the goal scoring season that he's having, if that guy's healthy, that's what he does. You know, Elias Pettersson's great. Quinn Hughes is going to maybe win the Norris this year. And you know, Thatcher Demko is, when he's on his game, one of the best goalies in the league. So, you know, they had a core of guys that I was confident could really perform if they're healthy. And they had a coach that I think could really kind of get them in the right direction. And they also made some pretty smart moves on the blue line too. So it all added up to them being good. And I'm not surprised they're doing as well as they are.
All right, Greg, I got one for you. Tell me what you think is the most worthless, useless stat in hockey. Because I go back to football. There's a stat in football about pressures on a quarterback. To me, that's just a dumb stat that we always talk about. What to you, what is the kind of the worst one in hockey that really means nothing?
Well, it's two, really. First off is that from a traditional stat standpoint, plus minus doesn't tell you anything. Everyone who follows hockey knows the plus minus is a stat you glance at. You maybe get a little bit of a sense of how a guy's playing, but ultimately, you know, if I'm standing by the bench when a goal is scored, I get credit for being on the ice when a goal is scored, right? Like, I did nothing. I did absolutely nothing on the play, but I get credit for it. So that's the one stat that I think a lot of us point to. The other one I always kind of like side-eye is turnovers. If you look on the NHL website, you can kind of find eventually a page that gives you, like, takeaways, giveaways, things like that. And the giveaway stat's always deceptive because a lot of that is you know, players trying to be aggressive and you know, outlet passes that don't connect and things of that nature. And you know, you could look at a guy, especially a defenseman, and say, well, this guy's a turnover machine, but it doesn't really tell you where the turnovers are happening or the nature of the giveaway. And I always felt that was a little wonky. And then the third one, too, I mean, we should probably also acknowledge hits as being just a nonsensical stat. One, because if you're hit, you know, every coach will tell you if you're hitting somebody, it means you don't have the puck, which is bad. And then the other thing is, and this was always the case with this guy, Cal Clutterbuck on the Islanders, depending on the arena, you know, a hit might be worth one hit, a hit might be worth three hits.
You know, depends, I mean, on who's so keeping the stat.
Clutterbuck would finish the season with, like, you know, 10 hits a game, and you're just like, what? And then you look at his stats at, like, the Nassau Coliseum, and it's like, oh, I understand. Now there's, like, a multiplier based on who's doing the stats in that building. So that stat's always been a little wonky, too.
Greg, good stuff as always. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Anytime.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joining us here on the program. The stats are always
well, because you know, the nerd analytics now of all the things that are going on, and it just, the more things are out there to look at. And that's why, to me, the whole pressure. I mean, the whole goal is to sack the quarterback. I mean, a quarterback understands pressure. You can still deliver unless you're hitting the quarterback or sacking him. To me, that's just almost as dumb as targeting. No, the targeting, like, from a quarterback to receiver. Like, he was targeted 12 times in the night. Tell me how many times he caught the ball.
Right.
Don't tell me how many times he got the ball thrown to him. I wonder how many times he caught the football.
Well, okay, now I might disagree with you a little bit on that. Just because I think like, for our Treylon Burks discussion, how much a guy was targeted also tells a story. Like, do they want to go to him?
I just want to know if he caught the ball.
Sure.
Did you catch the ball?
Sure, but Treylon was only targeted three times. He caught it one time. That shows me he's not a part of the game plan.
Like, when you talk about Philip Forsberg, hey, how many minutes was he on the ice? Did he score or did he not score?
Right, but
how
again,
did he play?
That tells a part of the story.
Right, but still, I just want give me the facts, man.
Okay.
I'm like Jack Webb. Give me, is that his name from Dragnet? Maybe. Dr. Crane watches those old shows. He would know that.
Come again. I'm sorry. I was working on something
now,
here.
No,
He's working.
He is working.
He's working on ovens.
Just the facts, ma'am. That's all.
Getting my next house ready to go. There you go.
Tomorrow is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you'll win a pair of tickets to an upcoming home game. Participate with Robbie and Rexro tomorrow morning at 8:45. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold.